In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today we commemorate St. Mary of Egypt. You should know her story well, because you should hear it every year in the service. We just read it this week, and it's quite an amazing thing that happens to the soul when you hear the service or you read it, when you read it during the service, when you hear it during the service. You can read it also outside of the service. But there is something that always happens to me when I read it or when I've heard it read during the service. We had it this week. And we have, of course, just like for all the saints, when we commemorate them, we have particular readings for them. And generally the readings have some connection to that saint. Well, the one today is the one actually for a woman martyr. St. Mary of Egypt was not killed for the faith, but we consider her to be a martyr because the word martyr means to confess, to witness. And she certainly witnessed her love for God. Now, this reading is about the woman who was a sinner, and that's a euphemism. She was a prostitute, or actually a repentant prostitute. She had been a prostitute. She was among those that the Lord said, the prostitutes and the tax collectors are going into heaven before you, when he was speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Lord had touched her life, had changed her. And she was so happy about this that she wanted to show to the Lord in a tangible way how much she loved him. So she found out that he was in a house, and a Pharisee, by the way, and a house of a Pharisee would be a place where a sinner, even one who was a former sinner, just wouldn't go. It just wasn't socially acceptable to be among those kind of people. But she had courage. She went. And of course, we know what she did. She, with her tears, washed our Lord's feet, dried them with her hair, anointed his feet with a very unctuous ointment. And the people there were amazed at this and thought, he couldn't be a prophet if he knew what kind of woman this is. They didn't understand it all. They didn't understand that she was acting out her repentance. Because repentance is not just being sorry. Repentance is not just changing. Repentance is being sorry, changing, and gratitude. And because of these three things, being sorry for our sins and changing the way we act, with, of course, the Lord helping us every step of the way, and our gratitude to him that he has helped us, that he has, as the psalm says, taken us out of the mire and put us upon a firm place. Those three things will make us act. And this is what the woman did. This woman's actions have been put forth in the gospel for everyone to read in every generation. Why? Because she is showing something to us. She's showing something that many of us, most of us, all of us, lack. And that is such repentance that we would give of ourselves completely to God. This is why this reading is selected for both female martyrs and for Saint Mary, who martyred herself and witnessed her love for God. Because such people that give themselves to God wholly should be remembered. And we must give ourselves to God wholly and completely. So let's look at her example and let's learn from it. The things that she did, the particular things, washing the feet and anointing the feet with oil, those things are not significant in and of themselves. They have some theological significance. It was preparation for the Lord's burial. It was a pointing to him. he was soon going to be anointed as a dead man. But in and of themselves, the actions would differ for each one of us. But we must, if we are truly sorry for our sins and recognize that the Lord is helping us, have such an overflowing sense of gratitude in our hearts that we would give of the overflowing gratitude and gladness in our hearts to others. So this woman's actions are an indictment of us. How do we live? How much do we care about others? How much do we think of others? Not for the sake of some sort of social gospel, but because the Lord has saved us. The Lord is changing us. We should have such gratitude for this that we should wish to wash his feet. And that is, of course, to take care of those whom he loves, his creatures, the good ones, the bad ones, the sober ones, the drunk ones, the obedient and the disobedient, those in the church and those out. All of them, because of our love for God and our gratitude to him. That is what this woman's witness is to us today. Now, when she was anointing his feet and people were really getting upset about it, the Lord brought that to their attention. And he gave this little parable to Simon the Pharisee about the two debtors. And of course, he answered correctly. The one who has the most forgiven would love the most. And then the Lord says something that you must read carefully. You must parse this sentence carefully. Because it is not immediately apparent what he means unless you read it carefully. First he tells Simon, you didn't do all these things. I came in, you didn't wash my feet. You didn't anoint my feet with oil. She's done all these things. And then he says, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. I think about this a lot, actually. There's certain verses in Scripture, there's certain things that really sort of get under your skin. And this is one of them. Because our prayers, which we should be saying in the first person about ourselves, they speak about great sinners. So if we really believe those prayers, we must mean that we are great sinners and have many sins to be forgiven. So if we have many sins to be forgiven, we must love much because they've been forgiven. But see, sins only that are offered to God in repentance are forgiven. Sins that we do not offer to God in repentance, the Lord doesn't forgive those sins. If we live a heedless life, then, and we don't ask the Lord for help, he will not help us. Now, to some extent, that's not completely true. Obviously, the Lord brings those to the church sometimes that are not seeking him at all. He brings them to the threshold, and then they make that change, just like St. Mary did. She wasn't seeking the Lord at all when she went to venerate the cross. She was just going with the crowd because everybody else was going. And what she normally would be doing at that time, she didn't have anybody to do it with. So she went to venerate the cross. But then Mary reacted to God's grace flooding into her heart. And she made great changes. So must we. If you don't feel that you're very sinful, then you really are deluded, because we're all very sinful. This is not a bad thing to say. This is a true thing to say. And glory be to God. God forgives all sins. And not only forgives them, but he gives us the power to overcome them. When St. Mary made her vow before the Theotokos, she was forgiven all of her sins right then and there. All of them, all of the terrible ones. But she wasn't healed of them until 17 years later. If you know her life well, and you should, You should know that for 17 years in the wilderness, she struggled against her sins. A lust, desire for food and for drink and for songs and for, as she called them, embraces, and every filth that she had ever experienced. For 17 years, she struggled against them in such a way that it would take us 17 centuries to struggle as much as she did in one night and one day, because she would lay on the ground begging for help until finally, after a long time of struggle, grace would descend upon her and all would be calm. So she had great love for God because she felt her sins very deeply, and she felt the forgiveness of those sins and the healing from those sins. And that's what this woman did. This woman who was a former prostitute felt deeply her sins and how the Lord had accepted her and forgiven her and brought her out of that life. And because of her great gratitude, she showed to the Lord her love by washing his feet and anointing them. She loved much because she was forgiven much. And the question is, why is it that so many of us love so little? If you take what the Lord said and parse it just slightly differently, this is why. We love so little because we've been forgiven so little. And the reason we've been forgiven so little is because we've repented so little. That's how I read this. Every time I hear it, and every time I read it, that's how I hear it. We don't repent very much. Let's be honest with one another. And that's why we love God so little. Our prayer should be fire when we pray. She prayed and she was a forearm's length above the ground. We should pray like that, but we don't. And why is that? Because we don't have enough love for God. Now, love for God is not something that you can just snap your fingers and say, I love God. Love for God comes deeply in the heart of a person who knows their sins and knows God visiting them and healing them of the sins. So if you don't have deep, abiding love for God, if your prayer is with distraction, if your prayer is uncommon, if it is difficult for you to pray with any attention at all, if you prefer other things to prayer, then you don't love God much. It's okay to say it. It's true. But God can help us to love him. Cultivate in yourselves love for God. That's why I've been talking so much, especially when I've been preaching about Psalm 118. That we must cultivate love for God. We're forgetful people. We're self-centered people. We must remind ourselves constantly of who God is and who we are. Because otherwise we just get bumped along by the life, the way of life that we have, and we forget God. So we must cultivate love for God. Do this through reading of the scriptures, through fasting, through coming to the services with attention, but especially with all these things, which are very necessary, but with all these things, humbling yourself before your fellow man, especially the ones that you don't like, especially the ones that aren't that fair, especially the ones that aren't that nice, aren't honest, aren't good. Humble yourself before such people. That is you anointing the Lord's feet and anointing and washing his feet with your tears when you reach out to his beloved, his creatures, all of whom he loves as much as he loves you and I. And if you do this, and if you learn to reach out to other people, and not so much to yourself, then your heart will be opened, and you will be forgiven of all of your sins and cleansed of all of your sins. And there will be a love so powerful in your heart, no one can ever take it away. Have you ever wondered why so many people fell away when communism came? So many people. An entire society basically lived like atheists. And those that went to church, most of them, not all of them, most of them hid this and were afraid. Why is this? I think the same thing would happen in our society, and in fact, even worse. If there was a revolution in our country, the amount of Christianity would be microscopic. True Christianity, false Christianity would be all over. Why is it that so many people fell away? Of course, many were killed, and they didn't fall away. But still, many millions more fell away from the practice of the faith. Something that they'd been born with, something that their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents had practiced. Why is it that they fell away? Because they didn't have enough love for God. That's why. That's a question you should ask yourself. I ask it of myself, and I ask it of my flock mentally. How many of you are ready? If there is a test, are you going to fall away or not? If you have deep abiding love for God, you won't be in danger. If you're aware of your sins and struggling against them, you won't be in danger. And as I've told you many, many times before, it's not so much how good you're doing against your sins, how perfect you are. It's how much you want to be perfect and how much you give thanks to God that He has given you His grace and He is perfecting you. If you have that in your heart, then no matter what happens, no matter what persecution occurs, and I believe that in our lifetime we will see serious persecution, no matter what happens, you'll be safe because you'll have the love of God in your heart and nobody can take that away. But if you're distracted and very rarely read the scriptures, very rarely pray, fast occasionally, maybe when it's convenient, come to the services haphazardly, are full of worldly concerns instead of spiritual things, then I tell you, you're in danger. Because you're like this person that the Lord refers to obliquely when He speaks of the woman who loved much. You're the one who didn't love much. You're the one who loves little and is forgiven little. Let's model ourselves after this woman. It's really all so easy. It's all so simple. Look into your heart and see what kind of person you are. Be honest about it. That when someone hurts you, you want to hurt back. That when someone has a need, your need supersedes theirs. That you're lazy and worldly. Just be honest about it. You don't have to tell anybody. Just be honest about it in your own heart. And then be honest that the Lord will help you with all that and will change you. And you should have such a sense of gratitude that that's happening, that you will never, ever lose love for God in your heart. It's very, very important, this message of this woman, because all of us have great sins, all of us. Even if we come to confession and basically say, well, you know, I can't think of anything, there's things. There's a lot of things. And we should have such gratitude that God is changing us and forgiving us. It's a wondrous thing to be a Christian. It's a wondrous thing to be able to be honest with God and say, I'm a sinner. And He says, come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And if you really believe that, if that really resonates in your heart, then you'll be like this woman. And you will reach out to God's beloved. You will not think of yourself, but you will think of others. because of your gratitude to God. And then you'll have a love for God and God abiding in your heart, and no one will ever be able to take that away. You'll never lose it. That's the message of this woman. So you must ask yourself the same question that I ask myself when we read this. Which one are you? Are you the one who has many sins that you have offered to God and have been forgiven them and therefore love much? Or are you the one who has not offered many sins to God and therefore has not been forgiven many sins and therefore, by our Lord's calculus here, does not love much? Which one are you? Glory be to God, we can change. If you're the one that doesn't love much because you're distracted and secular and don't think much of God and don't pray much and all the other things, you can change. God can touch you. But you must react, because repentance is reaction. Repentance is acting because of how the Lord has dealt with us. So may God help us to be like this woman, to recognize our sins, to offer them to God, to feel His forgiveness, and because of that, to love much. That's the only thing that makes life worthwhile or meaningful. To have our sins forgiven, and because of that, to be changed. And because of that change, to love God with an all-powerful, all-consuming love. May God help us to attain this. Amen.